Song. It's to let him pour down like rain on us this morning. That needs to be our prayer, doesn't it? That God will just speak to our hearts and pour out his spirit on us. I'm going to ask if you would join me for a word of prayer this morning before we open God's word together. And let's just ask him to do that. Ask him just to bathe us in his word and his truth this morning so we don't miss that. Pray with me if you would. Father, thank you this morning just for this place that we can gather this morning and come together and worship you. God, I know it's so easy for us to get used to how things happen and how things go here on Sundays. And God, just to miss what this is all about. God, I thank you for the gift of this church. I thank you, Lord, for the believers who gather here to worship you. I thank you, Father, for those who put time in on services and, God, who play our instruments. Thank you for each of them and God, for Nancy and our choir as they lead us and the beautiful songs we've heard this morning just remind us of who you are. God, this really isn't about any of that. God, this is about you. About hearing you, about letting you fall on this place, about you moving in our midst. And even now, God, as our heads are bowed before you, I thank you, Father, that these songs have reminded us of your presence and have reminded us of your gifts to us and who you are. But, God, we don't want to miss you in that. So, God, even now, Father, would you just prepare our hearts, God, for what you want to do? We invite you. We invite your Holy Spirit. We invite Jesus just to move in this place, to fall on us, God, to stir us, God, to make us uncomfortable if that needs to happen. God, whatever it takes, God, for you to be able to speak to our lives, God, just have your way this morning in this place. God, we hunger for you even beyond what we understand and know. God, we thirst for you. God, we need you. God, I'm convinced that right here in this place this morning, God, there are people who are hurting, who are struggling, who need your touch, who need the ministry of your Spirit, God, who need you to fall on them afresh today. God, in this place today, God, there are believers who are struggling in their walk, in what you've called them to as a believer. God, we need you. And there may be some in this room today who don't know you as Lord and Savior in the personal way that, God, you desire to be known by them. And I pray, God, today that that would take place, God, that they would feel you drawing them. Lord, we need you to move on us. And this morning we invite that. Lord, I pray you would take your word, familiar story we're going to look at today, you would speak it to our hearts and to our lives. We would be stirred and challenged and changed by the truth of your word, and put your Spirit on me this morning and just allow me to preach and proclaim your word as you've laid it on my heart. And most of all, God, I want to step out of the way and just let you speak. Let you minister to our hearts and our lives this morning. And God, what you do in this place today, we will be careful to give you and you alone the glory and the honor and the praise. And when we get ready to leave this place in a little bit and go back into the world and back into our lives, God, we will leave here shouting and praising your holy name for who you are and how you work. We love you. We praise you. We look for you. We listen for you in this place today. Magnify your name among us. And it's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Take your Bible, if you have your copy of the Scripture with you this morning. Let's go back to the very first book of the Bible, back to the book of Genesis. We're going to be this morning in the 28th chapter, if you want to be finding that, and another familiar story that you guys have probably heard ever since you were young, probably in Bible school and Sunday school. It's one of those great stories, and we want to just kind of pour into it this morning. We're back in Genesis talking about the life of Jacob. Kind of snuck in a little mini series in here on you guys. Y'all know I like to preach kind of series of messages, but in my own personal study and reading, I have been caught up in the life of Jacob. I told you that Jacob occupies one third of Genesis, and so his life is very significant. There's so much about Jacob, I think, that ought to resonate with us because we're a lot like him. That is, there was a time in our life probably when we fought against God, and then there was a time when we met God. And if you remember, last time we were together, we talked about a wrestling match between God and Jacob and how that might apply to our lives. This morning, we're going to be in the 28th chapter, looking at verses 10 through 22, and we're going to talk about a common, everyday, ordinary ladder. But there was nothing common, ordinary, or everyday about this ladder. This was an extraordinary ladder. You've heard probably all your life stories about Jacob's ladder, and this morning we sang some strange songs maybe you haven't sung in a long time, like We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder and some stuff like that, and we kind of mixed in some interesting songs about his presence. You're going to hear a lot of references to those songs in this passage we're going to look at together. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, let's take a look at this familiar story. I love it. So powerful. Genesis chapter 28, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 10 and going to read on down to the end of the chapter there in verse 22 so you can hear the story of Jacob's ladder. Here, do this while we're reading this and kind of follow along here. Look for references to some of the songs that you heard this morning in this passage because you'll hear them. You ready? Here we go, beginning in verse 10. This is the story of Jacob's ladder, great Old Testament narrative. Ready? Here we go. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Probably you've heard all of your life that Jacob used a rock for a pillow, and you've thought, well, my pillow feels like a rock sometimes, so that's why they make my pillow today, right? Try it. It's great. I love it. All right, verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, here's one of the songs, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob arose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put at his head. He set it up as a pillar. It's not a pillow anymore. Now it's a pillar. And poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. We're going to find that's very interesting. Remember, there's a lot of name changes that take place in the life of Jacob and around his story. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And look what he says here. You think tithing isn't in the Bible. Look at this. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Isn't that interesting? First place tithing's mentioned in Scripture, right there in the story of Jacob. That's got to be a sermon all by itself, right? I mean, that'll preach. The one thing I will say about this morning, because this isn't really a message about giving or tithing, but I will say this. You notice here, it was voluntary, right? Kind of circle that verse. What did he say? God, you have blessed me so much, I'm going to give a tenth of all that I have back to you out of love. Listen, tithing, giving to the Lord, is an act of worship. It's an act of our worship and adoration of him. Some people go, well, why do I always pass offering plates when I go to church? Why do they always do that? That is an important part of our act of worship. It really is. So some of you go, well, why do I give? I give because God has given so much to me. I give to bless him. So little side sermon there. That one's for free this morning. Kind of tuck it in your back pocket. Don't run for the door. It's not a sermon about tithing. Just a little message there, right? Because Jacob ends this passage by saying, God, because of what you've done for me, I'm going to give a tenth of all that I have back to you as just a love, as an offering of gift, a gift to you for who you are. What a great passage of Scripture. I love this. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about this. You probably noticed the title of this sermon, and it's probably going to get to the very end before this title makes a whole lot of sense for you. But I want you to think about this and consider this question just for a second. Would you rather be up a tree without a ladder or up a ladder without a tree? Now think about the question just for a second. There's a lot more important ramifications for that question than you think there are if you really think about it. I heard this week or read this week a story about two old country boys who were out in the cornfield plowing, and overhead they heard a plane fly over, and one boy looked up and said, I sure would hate to be way up there with that plane. And the other country boy looked up and said, yeah, but I sure would hate to be up there without it. Right? So think about that question. Would you rather be up a tree without a ladder or up a ladder without a tree? And we're going to drive this home this morning as we kind of think about that a little bit and we get to the end of the service. I hope to kind of pull all this together at the end of this message and kind of tell you what I'm kind of, where I'm going with that and kind of what I'm thinking about. Well, I want to say to you that Jacob's ladder is one of those stories that sometimes leaves us scratching our heads. And I know that probably there's a lot of different ways this could be preached, and there's a lot of different ways that it could be applied. But you know, here's what I want you to understand, and maybe write this if you want to somewhere. Here's what I believe, and why I believe that the Old Testament is really important for us. A lot of Christians say, you know, I think we just throw out the Old Testament. We don't need that anymore. Here's why I think stories like this, and this story in particular, is important. I believe these stories point forward toward Jesus, towards the Messiah, towards the Christ that's coming. They picture that for us. And this is such a powerful passage of Scripture, such a great story here, and I don't want to miss this. We get this picture of this ladder that links heaven and earth, and we need to understand exactly what's being here. So here's what I'm going to do this morning, as any good, you know, Baptist preacher would probably do it. I'm going to get 3 points out of this, of course. Because when you look at that passage, and I know you've heard the story and you're familiar with it, and that's always a danger when you come to try to preach passages like this, because you're so familiar with it sometimes that you gloss over some things and you miss some truth. But if you look at your passage there, it really lends itself to this. Now think about it. There is a vision here that Jacob had. We're going to talk about this vision that Jacob had and how that relates to us. You see, this isn't just an Old Testament story that is just a nice little ditty to tell our kids in Bible school or in Sunday school, this little narrative that makes a nice little children's story for a children's Bible. It's more than that. There's nothing amiss in God's Word. Every part of it applies. And I believe that the vision that Jacob had of this ladder, listen, says something to you and me. There's something in this that applies. All of God's Word is like that. It's relevant, it's applicable, it applies. So I want you to notice that in the story there's a vision. There's also a voice. God speaks in this passage of Scripture. And listen, if I know one thing about my God, it is this: He still speaks today. That there is still the voice of God today that we need to hear, that we need to heed. And so there's this vision he has of the ladder, and Jacob catches that vision, and then he hears God speak. And then he makes a vow. He makes a commitment. And that's where we're going to go with this. If you're kind of jumping ahead and you want to write down the 3 points, we're going to talk about the vision that he had. We're going to talk about the voice that he heard. And we're going to talk about the vow that he made. And how all of that relates to us, what God is calling us to in this passage of Scripture as we kind of navigate through it. So you ready? Here we go. First, let's talk about this vision that Jacob had and how it relates to us for just a minute. Now, notice verses 10 and 11 of our passage again and kind of what's taking place here, because those two verses kind of set the background for us a little bit of what's going on. Verse 10 and 11 says this: Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. Now, here's the picture. We got to have a little bit of a background of what's going on here. I gave you some background last week to the life of Jacob. Most of us are pretty familiar with us. Here is Jacob in a very dark place, once again, just like he was last week when he wrestled with God. Now, I could stop there and kind of build a whole message there about those quiet, intimate moments that we need to have with God, where we need to listen for that still small voice of God when he speaks to us. And I believe that he does. He still does that today. So Jacob is in this dark place, a dry place, a desert place. He is alone. And I think we might call Jacob the prodigal son of the Old Testament. Because if you think about this, he is having to flee from home. Why? Because he has cheated his brother out of his birthright and out of his blessing. He's lied to his father. His brother wants to kill him. His mother gets wind of it and says, let's send him back home to where we came from to find a wife. Kind of as an excuse, he did find a wife. As a matter of fact, he found a couple of them, right? That's another sermon, okay? But anyway, he did find a wife. But think about where Jacob is. He's at a dark place in his life. He is running away from home, essentially. But because he has betrayed his brother, he's betrayed his father, he's scared for his life, and now he is running for fear of his life. And out in the middle of this dry, dreary place, the sun has gone down, and Jacob lays his exhausted body down, hoping for a peaceful night's sleep. He has the bushes and the trees for his curtains. He has the sky for his canopy. He lays up, and interestingly, God made all of that. And now he has a rock for his pillow, right? And literally, he is sleeping, if you want to say, between a rock and a hard place, right? I mean, that's what you kind of get a picture of here. And fitfully, he dozes off. And then in verse 12, you see this interesting dream that he has. And the question I'm always asking myself is, what is this really about? What's going on here? And there's a whole lot to this, really, and I'm going to probably way oversimplify it today, kind of as we talk about it, but I don't want us to miss this. So he kind of fitfully dozes off, and he begins to dream. Now, verse 12 says this: Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. That's interesting. So get the picture there. So there's a ladder, and the angels here are ascending and descending on it. Now, God sometimes spoke through dreams. We know that. God spoke to Joseph through dreams, through Jacob through dreams. He sometimes spoke through dreams. I would just kind of caution you, better be careful listening to dreams to get your advice from God. Heard about a guy who dreamed, and his dream turned into a nightmare. He dreamed that all he could eat were marshmallows. And he just kept filling his mouth with marshmallows, just eating more and more marshmallows, began to cram them all into his mouth. And when he woke up, his pillow was gone. Dangerous. So be careful looking for meaning behind dreams. But he has this dream here. Now, in this case, this dream was a very interesting dream of heaven. And it taught Jacob a lesson that really changed him instantaneously. Heard about another dream this week that I thought was really interesting. One young man was talking to his girlfriend. And he said, "I dreamed about you last night." And she said, "You did? What did you dream?" And he said, "I dreamed that I proposed to you. I wonder what it means." And she said, "Well, I know what it means. I think it means you have more sense when you're asleep than when you're awake." That's a good one. Well, that night, so Jacob has this dream, okay? And he had a dream, and I think Jacob saw this dream, and he heard the voice of God. But in this vision, I think immediately in his mind, he just thought, what does this mean? What's behind this? What is this? And I have to tell you that kind of, just to give you a little bit of a picture, I think the gospel is wrapped up in this vision that God gave to Jacob, and Jacob didn't even know it. I mean, the whole gospel story is really here. It's kind of wrapped up in this, and I want you to see this and just think about this with me for just a minute. First of all, because he kind of learned that this ladder was a link between heaven and earth, and that ladder, it had these lessons about earth and about heaven and about who Jacob was and about who God was, and God's at the top of the ladder, right, that he sees in this vision, which kind of represents who God is. He is holy, and if you want to look at it like this, Jacob saw himself as separated from God. Jacob's on the earth looking up, and God is on the heavens looking down at the top of the ladder. And between them, there is this separation. There's this great gulf, what we might call the great gulf of sin, that separates us from God. Now the purpose of a ladder is to help you climb up to a place that you could not get to otherwise. If we're going to get to heaven, we need help from above. That's what we know. That if we're going to get to that place that Jacob saw in his dream at the top of the ladder, where God was, we need help. We need a ladder that can get us from earth to heaven because there's a great gulf between us and God. In the Gospel of Luke, I think this is interesting. Jesus told a parable about a rich man and a beggar who died. And one went to hell and the other went to heaven. And in Luke 16:26, we hear the rich man crying out, the one who went to hell, and saying this in verse 26, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf, a chasm fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." That's that span, that gulf of sin, separation that Jacob saw in that vision, in that dream that he had. And I think it's interesting, this kind of idea that he's kind of promoting there. Now, at this point in Jacob's life, Jacob didn't know God. Here's what you need to know about Jacob. At this point in his life, he knew about God. But remember last week we talked about Jacob's name. Remember what his name meant? Cheater. It meant deceive or deceptive. Supplanter. It spoke of treachery. That's Jacob's life. That's a picture of the old man. And if you remember last week in the wrestling match that we saw a name change. He changed his name from Jacob, deceit, to Israel, God is my salvation. Wow. There's a change that took place. This is where the change began, right here. This is where the change began to take place. This is where God began to reveal himself in this vision to who he was. Now, here's what I want to say. Listen, God is all about revealing himself to you and me. He's all about it. He's all about giving us a picture of who he is and who he came to be and who we are. And listen, one of the things that happens a lot of times when God begins to reveal himself really to us, and I've heard this all my life, you get a good picture of God and you know what's going to happen? You're going to see yourself for the sinner that you are in the presence of a holy God. Every time, that's going to happen. You're going to see it like that. And it's interesting, verse 13 of our passage, Jacob, God says to Jacob, look at it, he says, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Interesting. That there's a spiritual. Who was Jacob's father? You confused now? This says, I am the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Who's his father? Isaac. Isaac's his father. But this calls Abraham his father. What's it talking about? There's a spiritual fatherhood here. He's talking about spiritually, in a spiritual sense. Isaac's his father, and Abraham is his grandfather. But it's interesting there, he doesn't say he's the God of Jacob. After the wrestling match, God is identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But right now, he's called the God of Abraham and Isaac. Why? Because here's why. I believe Jacob knew about God, but he didn't know God. There was still a separation between him and God. He didn't know him. Then look at verse 16, on down just a little bit later. Notice what it says. Here it is. Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Why didn't he not know it? Why didn't he know it? Because he didn't know him. He didn't know him. He knew about him. He'd heard about him, but he didn't know it. Now think about this just for a second. And I know I'm kind of oversimplifying this, but kind of hear me here at what I'm going to say. Here is a man that was born into a religious heritage, right? He'd heard about God. He'd probably heard the stories about his grandfather Abraham and how he left everything to pursue a relationship with this God who said he's. And then he heard about God from Isaac. He'd heard all about him. This is a picture of a man, and let me kind of simplify it here and put it in our own terms how we're thinking this morning. Listen, think about this. Here's a man who was born into a Christian home, and listen, that doesn't necessarily make you a Christian, right? Just because you've heard about God, just because you know about him, doesn't mean that you know him. So this story is kind of interesting because it pictures the skull, but it also pictures God's grace. I love this picture. It pictures this separation, but it also pictures God spanning the gap of that separation for us. And I love this. This ladder becomes this link between heaven and earth. It's a picture of another great link between man and God. There's an Old Testament explanation of this that I think is really interesting that gives it an interesting qualifying idea. I want you to hold your place there in Genesis chapter 28. I want to go to first chapter of John. Go to John chapter 1, and this is very interesting. Jesus is in the process, in John chapter 1, we're going to get down in verse 47. John chapter 1, he's in the process of calling his disciples. And you'll recognize this. In John chapter 1, verses 47 through 51, that's a very interesting explanation, I think, of this dream that I find really, really fascinating. Maybe you've read this passage, you've never made the connection between these two stories. Jesus sure does. And I don't want you to miss this. In John 1, 47 through 51, he's calling one of his lesser-known disciples, the one named Nathanael. Other places he's known as Bartholomew. We don't know a whole lot about Nathanael. But maybe you know this story a little bit. Look at it if you've kind of turned there with me. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 47. Listen to this. This is really interesting. Here it is. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, that's really interesting that he got that, who Jesus was, right, out of just that one simple conversation. But let's go on to verse 50. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, that's very interesting. There is a direct tie there to the story of Jacob's ladder. And I don't know if you see that. He says concerning Nathanael, and this is interesting, he says, he is an Israelite in whom is no deceit. He uses both of the names of Jacob there, deceiver, and God is my salvation. Both of them. The word deceit there is a reference. So essentially he said to them, you are an Israelite and who is no Jacob? That's interesting, right? He's drawing him into that story there for him to understand what's behind that story. What's it really teaching? There is a span. There is a grace that's communicated in that story between God and between man that he didn't want him to miss that. Later on, we kind of understand Jacob's name is changed too as he experiences him, right? So what Jesus literally is saying there is, listen, I've changed Jacob to Israel, right? And Nathaniel, I can change you too. I can touch your life. I can bring the grace of God into your life. And then he goes on and says this in verse 51. Look at it again. It says this. He said to him, assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What is that? That's Jacob's story. That's what Jacob saw, right? He saw the angels descending and ascending from heaven. In that Old Testament, the angels were descending and ascending upon the ladder, but in the New Testament, they are descending and ascending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess who the ladder is? Jesus. He spans the gap. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only way you can get to God. The only way. That's it. He said it himself in John 14, 6, didn't he? Jesus answered and said to them, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. He is the ladder. And I love this vision that Jacob had in the story, because here's what it's pointing forward towards Jesus, who would span the gap, who would open the way. Listen, so many people today are climbing so many different ladders that they think will get them to heaven. There are some even who call themselves Christians or believers, or religious, and they're trying to climb the ladder of religion to get to God. And listen, that's the wrong tree. That will not get you there, right? It may get you to the top of the tree, but it won't get you all the way into the presence of glory of God, right? Some people are trying to climb the ladder of ritualism, right? If I just do certain things, if I follow certain, if I'm a good person and I go to church and I tithe and I give and I all these kind of things, if I get dunked in the water and get wet, if I do all of these things, if I follow the ritual, right? They're climbing the ladder of ritual thinking that's going to make them right to God. That's the wrong tree. It may get you to the top of the tree called ritual, but it will not get you into the presence of Jesus, right? And some people are trying to climb the ladder of good works. If I'm just a good person, if I treat people right, if I'm kind, if I'm morally good, if I'm morally clean, if I do all those kinds, then that's the wrong tree. There's only one ladder that will get you to heaven. And Jesus said, it's him. The Apostle Paul would say it like this, and I love this. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty with this, but I love this verse. Maybe you need to write this reference down in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. I love this. Paul says this, listen to it. For there is one God and one mediator, ladder, one go-between. That's what the word means. For there is one God and one mediator, one ladder, one go-between, between man and God. And here's who it is. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, I want you to understand, this ladder, there is a separation. God's at the top of the ladder, right? And Jacob's at the bottom of the ladder. And it's giving him this pathway to get to God, this ladder. And the angels are ascending and descending upon this ladder. They're going up and down the ladder, right? And he sees that taking place in this passage of Scripture. And the ladder is a picture of God's salvation that he's providing to Jacob by means of who God would send, of the Messiah, of the coming one. That's Jesus. I want to tell you today that, listen, going to church, being a good Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever it is, doing religious things, going through the rituals, being good, all of those kind of things will never get you there. It'll never get you there. I love the idea that we get of this ladder, because here's what it pictures, and Bill Gaither wrote a song about this that simply said, he came down to my level when I couldn't get up to his. That's what he did. It's not about you and I getting up to God. It's that he came down to our level. He dropped the ladder from heaven, right? How was the ladder dropped from heaven? God became a man and dwelt among us and opened a way, provided a bridge, made a pathway, created a ladder in order that you and I might reach him. But we can only do it through Jesus Christ. It's only, only, only through him. What a powerful, powerful vision, this vision that Jacob had. And today, listen, how does it relate to you and I? Oh, that's how we're saved. by climbing the ladder, Jesus. That's how we must come to him. So powerful, isn't it? Just one simple little truth right there from Jacob's ladder. All of a sudden we see in that ladder is, who's the ladder? Jesus is my ladder. He's the only way I can get there. I can't get there by church. I can't get there by being religious. I can't get there by ritual. I can't get there by the things that I do, the things that I say. I can only get there by means of Jesus. He's the ladder. But there's also, in this passage of Scripture, I told you we're going to look at several things here. There's the voice that he heard. So Jacob sees this vision, and then he hears this voice speaking. Now, here's what I said a minute ago when I began this. God loves you so much, he has gone to great lengths to reveal himself to you. And he actually wants you to see him. He does. And he's revealed himself to you in lots of ways. He speaks to us when we pray. When God's word is preached, he begins to speak and tug at our heart, revealing himself to us. But most of all, he has revealed himself to us in who? Jesus. The ladder, right? The vision we get of who God is, and is in Jesus Christ himself. God becoming a man. God descending the ladder down to us to show us the way back to the Father, right? Who was Jesus but Emmanuel, God with us, who came to be with us. So he's gone to great lengths to reveal himself to us. But here's something else you need to know. God has revealed himself to us through his word. God speaks. I believe with all of my heart that God still speaks today. Now, the dream, the vision alone for Jacob was not enough. It wasn't sufficient. Not really. Jacob needed a word from God. He needed to hear God speak. One of my prayers every week as I get ready for this time on Sunday is that God would speak. That sounds really simple and really trite, I know. But I don't want you to hear Buddy speak. That's going to ring hollow, I will tell you. I'm not great with words. I kind of spit when I talk. You guys notice that. That's why y'all don't sit close right in the spit zone. I got it. I mean, I get it. I stumble over stuff. I'm awkward with it. It's not really the thing that I'm very good at. But here's what I pray every week, that God will speak. That God will speak. God, you will take me, and through me you will speak to hearts and lives. And I got to tell you, I believe that he does. The reason that I believe that he does is because he does to me. Even while Buddy's speaking, God speaks. He speaks to my heart. I believe he speaks in this place. I really do. I think he speaks and stirs and steps on toes and makes us uncomfortable and stirs our spirit and draws us to himself. I believe that he speaks. The big thing for me is, are we listening? Are we really listening? Are we just being entertained by Buddy spitting every once in a while? Are we just being entertained here today? Are we just sitting in a nice service, hearing some nice music that's kind of more traditional because that's what I like is traditional, right? And I'm comfortable here and the seats are nice and it's comfortable inside this building and it's a pretty building and they've got a good choir. And, you know, am I just here to be entertained or am I really here to hear the living God? Because the thing I know about my God is he's gone to great lengths to reveal himself to you and he wants to speak to your heart. He wants to speak. And he wanted to speak with all of his mind. He wanted to speak to Jacob. He loved Jacob. Here's Jacob, dirty, rotten Jacob, right? Jacob the cheater. Jacob the supplanter. Jacob the deceiver. Jacob cheating his brother out of his blessing. Jacob lying to his father. There's Jacob. You know what I'm going to say? I'm just like Jacob. God loves me just like he loved Jacob. And he wants to speak to me just like he wanted to speak to Jacob. And he wants to reveal himself to me just like he wanted to reveal himself to Jacob. He wants to speak into your life. And he's speaking this morning. And the big question for me is, are we hearing him? Dr. Charles Stanley said this, and I love this quote. He said, when God speaks, and he does. I love that part of this quote. When God speaks, and he does, everyone should listen. And if God's voice seems indistinct, it may be that something in your life hinders a clear hearing. Oh God, listen, if we could just stop right here and say, God, move anything out of me that would keep me from having a clear hearing of what you want to say to me. Because here it is, God's revealing himself to us. I believe he's doing that this morning, even through the story of Jacob that we're hearing. He's revealed himself to us in his son. But listen, we need to hear what he wants to say in our heart too. Because listen, if you listen close to him, you know what I think you're going to hear him saying to you? Come to me. Come near to me. Draw near to me. I think that's what Jacob heard in this passage of Scripture. I love the things that he kind of talks about here. And this is so powerful. Jacob needed a word from God. God revealed himself in that vision, but Jacob needed to hear God. He knew it was God because no one else can speak like God. And I got to tell you that when God begins to speak, you'll know it. And you're either going to turn the voice off because it scares you to death, or you're going to lean into what he's saying. And I got to tell you, listen, we ought to always hear what he has to say. So God began to speak to the life of Jacob. And I think this divine voice kind of got into his ears. And I just want us to kind of think about this for a minute because it kind of begins right there in verses 13 and 14 of our passage. So I hope you're back there in Genesis 28. And look at it with me if you would when God begins to speak to him. Look what it says. And behold, the Lord stood above it at the top of the ladder and spoke down to Jacob. And here's what he said. And I like this. I am. Remember, that's the proper name of God, right? That God gave to Moses. I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the east and the west, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. Well, what a great thing that he's saying there. And we hear that, we go, well, he's talking there about Israel, and he's talking about, yes, he is. Yes, he is. But there's so much richness and depth to this. I think it transcends that. It goes deeper than that. You notice that God personally reveals himself to Jacob through his word. Just as he did to his father Isaac and to his grandfather Abraham before him. And listen, this is so important because here's what you understand about this. Jacob needed to hear God for himself. He needed to hear him. And you mark this down. You need to hear God for yourself too. Nobody can hear God for you. You can't. Abraham could not go off. I mean, Jacob could not go off what God said to his grandfather, Abraham. And he could not go off of what God said to his father, Isaac. Jacob needed to hear God drawing him, calling him, just like you do too. It's personal. I can kind of hear Jacob kind of thinking about this in his own mind. He must have thought, you know who my grandfather is, right? Abraham. Father Abraham. The one God spoke to and kind of called, surely that's good enough for me, right? That's got to say something about my life. Or you know my father is, right? My father is Isaac, the child of promise, right? I mean, this is the child that God promised to my grandfather and grandmother when they were 100 years old, way past childbearing years. Surely that's good enough for me to fall into good favor with God. Surely that voice is good enough. No, listen to me. Listen, you need to hear God speak in drawing you. You don't come to him because somebody else heard him speak on your behalf. You need to hear God calling you personally. And God called him personally. I love Dr. James Merritt at this. He says this, no one can experience God by osmosis. No one can experience God for you. You cannot experience God through someone else. And that's a pretty true statement, isn't it? You see, you need to hear God speaking. The prayer of your heart and your life ought to be is, listen, God has gone to great lengths to reveal himself to me in his son. I need to hear God. God, speak. What are you saying to me through this? What do you want me to do in my life? What are you speaking into my life about in this particular situation? What are you saying? And I love this because in verse 15, we get this picture. Look what he says in verse 15. Here's what God speaks to him. I love this. And there's so much here for you and I. I don't want you to miss this because I believe God speaks the same thing into your life and mine. Look at verse 15. He says this, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. There's so much there. Look at what he promises. First of all, he promises him his presence, doesn't he? Here's what he says. Behold, I am with you. I am with you. I will be with you. I love the promises of God's word where God constantly is saying to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you. There's a promise of his presence. Then there's also this promise of protection from God, right? I will keep you wherever you go. Listen, when you belong to God, you belong to God. Nothing happens to you outside of him. You're his. And then he kind of speaks to him. He speaks the preservation of God into his life. Look at verse 15. And I will bring you back to this land. Wow. And then he speaks the promise to God. For I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. That's his promise, right? So God speaks into his life. And he speaks into our life too. I think the most powerful thing that we hear in this is Jacob's reaction to what he heard. It's so powerful. Verse 16, then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I think two of the most tragic verses in Scripture are that one, that is that the Lord was there and he didn't know it. And then in the life of Samson, in Judges 17:20, when Samson has to say, it says this about him, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. I think the greatest kind of tragedy is for God to speak and us not hear him, for God to be present and us not see him. I think the two greatest tragedies of life is for God to be present and you not see it, and for God to be absent and you not sense it. And the truth of the matter is, listen, in this particular situation, he says, listen, surely the presence of the Lord is the place. I didn't even know it. I didn't know it. And then he's filled with fear. And it's so powerful here. I think, you know, we kind of want to go, listen, I would understand if I could just hear God speak, if he would just speak to me like he did to Jacob. I would come to him. I would receive him. I would respond to him. If he would just speak like that, well, I got to tell you, he still today is revealing himself. He still speaks today. You don't have to wait to have a vision or a dream before God speaks to you. You don't. God still speaks today. So there's this vision that he had, right? And then there's this voice that he heard, and then there's a vow that he made. And I want to just kind of lean into this one, kind of finish up today with this, because I think this is so, so powerful. I don't want us to get this. So he has the vision, he sees, and then Jacob wakes up, and it's really interesting, verse 18, at what he does. I said in this, he turned his pillow into a pillar here in verse 16. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. That's pretty interesting. That means he kind of dedicated that place, saying, listen, God is in this place. He is here. This is a holy, sacred place. We're standing on holy ground, right? That's kind of the picture that he did. And in this passage of Scripture, it's really interesting, kind of the things that you see here. Jacob turns his pillow into this pillar. He pours oil on it, thereby sanctified as a holy place, the place where God is found. Now, because his nature had changed, there's this name change that takes place that's really interesting. Look at verse 19, because we're kind of prodding through this. So the very next verse, it says this, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Interesting. The name Luz means separation. Wow. Separation. The name Bethel means house of God. Wow. What had happened in Jacob's life? He saw this ladder spanning the gap that is Jesus, that brings our separation to an end so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? That's the picture that you get right there from this powerful story. And Jacob makes this vow to him that's so powerful in this passage. He anoints the place because, listen, he recognizes, he drives a stake down, he anoints the rock with oil. Why? Because this is where I met the Lord. This is where I came to know. This is the watershed, rock-solid moment of my life when I met him and I went from separation to being one of his in his house. That's powerful to me. That's what happened. As I was working on the sermon this week, and I love this. Y'all know I love music, right? And a lot of times, and I try to break into song while I'm preaching, and it's just terrible and awkward and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to do that this morning. I found an old hymn. I was looking at some old, and this is an old English gospel hymn from the 18th century that's called Jacob's Ladder. And this is not, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. This is an old English gospel hymn, so powerful. And as I began to read it, y'all know me, right? I'm reading this, I'm going, this is the story. This is the story of Jacob. This is what happened in Jacob's life. And begins to just, and then all of a sudden God arrests my heart and said, this is your story, buddy. This is your story. I want to just read this to you, and it's kind of a long one. There's several verses, and I'm going to read it just like you would sing it, and like it was sung in the 18th century. I'm not going to try to sing it because that would be bad, but I'm going to just read it, and I want you just to let these words kind of soak over you this morning. Just hear what it says. And listen, if you're here today and you're a believer, this isn't Jacob's story. This is your story. I want you to hear it that way. I want you to hear the praise of this song. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus and the separation is still there, listen, God has provided a ladder for you in Jesus. All you got to do is step on the ladder, step on the cross, right? I love this. Here's what this old English gospel song from the 18th century says, Jacob's Ladder. It goes like this as the chorus. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree and hath raised up a ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward. The top is in view. There's a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. As Jacob with travel was weary one day, at night on a stone for a pillow he lay, he saw in a vision a ladder so high that its foot was on earth and the top in the sky. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree. And hath raised up a ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward. The top is in view. There's a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. The ladder is long. It is strong and well made. Has stood thousands of years and never decayed. Many millions have climbed it and reached Zion's hill. And thousands by faith are climbing it still. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree. And hath raised up a ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward. The top is in view. There's a crown of bright glory waiting for you. Come, let us ascend. All may climb it who will. For the angels of Jacob are guarding it still. And remember each step that by faith we pass o'er. Some prophet or martyr hath trod it before. Hallelujah to Jesus who died on the tree and hath raised up a ladder of mercy for me. Press onward, climb upward. The top is in view. There's a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. And when we arrive at the haven of rest, we shall hear the glad words, come up hither, you blessed. Here are regions of light. Here are mansions of bliss. Oh, who would not climb such a ladder as this? Hallelujah to Jesus, who died on the tree and hath raised up a ladder of mercy for me. Press onward. Climb upward. The top is in view. There's a crown of bright glory awaiting for you. Would you bow with me forward to prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what God might have said in your heart today. Through a strange and unusual Bible story about a ladder that reached to the heavens. I don't know what he might be saying in your heart today. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He is the ladder that spans the gap between you and God. If you're trying to climb religion, it's the wrong ladder. If you're trying to climb by some denomination, wrong ladder. If you're trying to climb by religious works or religious duties or going to church or doing it, wrong ladder. If you're trying to climb by who your family is or go off of what they knew, wrong ladder. If you're trying to climb by good works, wrong ladder. I titled this sermon this morning, Up a Tree Without a Ladder, Up a Ladder Without a Tree. Asking those questions. Here's what I know. There is a tree called Calvary. That tree. The tree called Calvary. That's the tree where the ladder is. If you trust him, listen, he is the only way. Jesus said it. The only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen, today climb up on that ladder. Climb up on that ladder. You may say, but I don't understand everything you're saying. I don't understand all that it means to be a Christian. I don't know if I know the right words. You call upon him because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You call on him. He's the ladder. Call on him. And if you're here today and you're a believer, listen, maybe you've let everything else in your life take the place of this grand ladder. And you need to be singing like that old song, hallelujah, praise Jesus for this ladder. Hallelujah. Maybe today as a believer is just a time of recommitment of your life to him and who he is. I don't know what God might have said in your heart today, but I want to give us an opportunity to respond to him. So in just a moment, we're going to sing the song, Open My Eyes. I want to see Jesus. I want to reach out and touch him just like Jacob did. I want to hear him speaking. I want to promise my all to him. God speaks to your heart and you need to respond. Listen, our ministers are going to be here at the front. We'll gladly receive you, pray for you. The altar's going to be open. Or right where you stand this morning, maybe God's spoken to your heart about this ladder. It's our opportunity to respond to what he may be saying in our heart and our life today. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for this ladder. This way that's been provided for us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's him that we worship this morning. It's Him that we want to trust. Oh, God, we want to climb right up that ladder, right into Your presence this morning. I pray for those who don't know You that they might have the courage to step out by faith and do that. Lord, this morning, in the quietness of this moment, as we sing this praise song to You, open our eyes, Lord. God, let Your Spirit fall on us and draw us to Yourself this morning. And God, what You do here in this place today, we will be careful to give You and You alone the praise and the honor and the glory. You be magnified even in this time of response this morning. It's in Your name I ask these things. Amen. Would you